Good morning and welcome to Seeing with the Eyes of Love. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Okay, well, it's happy Friday to everyone, and here's our quote.
Right.
Enlightenment is not something that occurs in the future after 50 years of sitting cross-legged and saying Om. It is right here in this instant. The reason you're not experiencing this state of total peace and timelessness is because it is being resisted. It is being resisted because you are trying to control the moment. If you let go of trying to control your experience of the moment, and if you constantly surrender it like a tone of music, then you live on the crest of this exact alwaysness. Every single moment is dissolving as it arises. Let go of anticipating the next moment, trying to control it, trying to hang on to the moment that has just passed. Let go clinging to what has just occurred. Let go trying to control what you think is about to occur. Then you live in an infinite space of non-time and non-event. There is an infinite peace beyond description, and you are home.
Shall we do it again?
Okay. Enlightenment is not something that occurs in the future after 50 years of sitting cross-legged and saying Om. It is right here in this instant. The reason you're not experiencing this state of total peace and timelessness is because it is being resisted. It is being resisted because you're trying to control the moment. If you let go of trying to control your experience of the moment, and if you constantly surrender it like a tone of music, then you live on the crest of this exact alwaysness. Every single moment is dissolving as it arises. Let go of anticipating the next moment, trying to control it, trying to hang on to the moment that has just passed. Let go clinging to what has just occurred. Let go trying to control what you think is about to occur. Then you live in an infinite space of non-time and non-event. There's an infinite peace beyond description, and you are home.
That's beautiful. Ashwini, that the system is doing that same thing it was doing yesterday. You get far away, and it's doing this little popcorn thing in the background. So I don't know if you were able to hear it.
Now that you mentioned it, I did.
Okay.
Could be my earbuds, so I will keep an eye on it.
Okay, thank you. So two things about that that I would like to mention before we launch. One is this exact alwaysness. Is that the exact alwaysness? Is that how it's stated?
Yes, of this exact alwaysness. Wow.
It's just, yeah, what a beautiful way to express the eternal now.
Yes.
But the other thing that I think is really important for us as practitioners is that it's so many people, even people who have a spiritual practice that is talks about the illusion of separation. They'll still speak as if there is one unified I. And that's what's happening in this quote. So just to underline it, be clear that when it says, because you are resisting, you are holding on to the, you are, if we were to phrase that, it would be because the ego is holding on. The ego is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those places where we allow that to happen because we don't realize the identification with that illusion of a separate self that is resisting life. So the work of getting past it is exactly the same. But where egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, can take advantage is when it makes it our fault that we're having the experience we're having. So, you know, I'm not living in infinite peace, and I don't feel like I'm at home. And the voice would say, well, it's your fault because, you know, in the quote it said, it's because you're resisting and you're clinging. That's why it's, and so we don't just don't want to perpetuate that little conversation.
You know, Sherry, I think I love it because the first introduction we ever have to this practice is the voices and self-hate, which is what we explored yesterday and the day before, that we have to get past self-hate. That's the first step, to identify it as a process. If we're giving that process attention, then we are identified and taking the blame for something that we don't have to take the blame for. And it is really important to be able to know that that's not what we are, and that is the letting go of dropping into the exact alwaysness, the disidentification from that.
Precisely. Yeah. And when we talk about being home and living in that infinite peace, I think was the phrase, that is nothing more complex than dropping that conversation in conditioned mind that keeps us identified with ego. As soon as we drop that, that's what the author is pointing to, that we're clinging to. It's not phrased that way, but that's what ego is clinging to, and that's what's keeping us from being in the eternal alwaysness. Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, here's our first caller.
Clarifying that. All right. All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna calling.
Hi, Anna.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. Loud and clear and no little popcorn in the background. What are you seeing?
Oh, great. well, I'm dropping into the moment right now. And
very good.
I'm seeing... let's see what life sees. Well, just a fast beating heart right now. One moment. Yeah, it's so great if I can just leave all, or ego, or I cannot believe ego's fears, stories, and just drop into this moment and just be with all the nervousness, because, there's a big story around just not being able to talk to a certain topic, or, you know, whenever I, for example... so if I just leave those fears behind, then I can just see whatever comes up in the moment.
That's exactly right.
And
you don't even need to call it nervousness.
Yeah.
Right? Because when we just did that, I was doing my version of what you were doing, which was just stopping and being with what was going on. And in that stopping and being with what's going on, what I felt was the life force. We're just here in this moment. And life is going to drop in something that we're going to talk about. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it doesn't. And maybe we just stay here feeling what it feels like to be alive, which definitely starts to bring a smile, right? And we can just enjoy that. But as soon as we go to, okay, well, my heart is really pounding, and I have a lot of energy in my body, so I must be nervous. I must be afraid. Oh, my God. Now I won't be able to, I won't know what to talk, right? And so all that energy just gets over to maintaining ego stories.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it always feels kind of like a doorway for me to talk about anything. Otherwise, like, nothing will come up. Or I guess, I don't know in the next moment, but at least that's what I think about the past.
Yes,
every
well,
time, you know,
ego only wants you to talk about it.
Yeah.
And the way
yeah.
it keeps you, the way it keeps you in relationship with it is through this, oh, I'm nervous, I don't know what to say, nothing comes to me, I don't, but, you know, you could just go all zen on it and just talk about whatever drops into your head. Right? You just, instead of something comes to me and then I look to conditioned mind, is that appropriate? Is that going to sound right? I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, that's too, now so much time has gone by. Oh, I feel like an idiot. I don't know what to, right? So it just grabs the attention, gets us into relationship with it, and then perpetuates its existence.
Yeah. Well, so then my brain, now again, that's really what's happening, just kind of freezes so that, you know, life can't really come through. So when I'm on a call like this, then, you know, is it okay if I just don't talk at all? That would be kind of weird,
but see, you are.
No one would know I'm here.
But you are talking.
Yeah.
Right? You
I know.
Are.
Yeah.
And you are talking, you are right now, actually, rather than being caught in ego and its story, you're actually talking about the process that happens, which is what we do all the time, which is the point of, being in Sangha.
But, now, was I doing that when I started the call or not? I thought
yes.
I was, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
It was completely
we
fine.
Have not,
yeah, it wasn't.
Yep. Yep. We have not
I
had a single one of those, turn it over to ego moments. And the thing is, if you and I were just out somewhere, you know, we're going to meet for tea, and you realize that system wants to start down that, and your brain freezes and you don't know what to say, and you just look out and go, wow. Those trees are gorgeous, aren't they? With that sky behind them and the clouds, it's just exquisite, isn't it? There. Okay?
Yeah.
We're in the present. This is what's going on. You're talking to me about, you're communicating with me about your direct experience of what's happening in this moment. There.
Yeah. Extending awareness from the little eye.
Well, getting it out of your head, right? Getting attention out of conditioned mind and into where our bodies are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, thank you.
I really love the quote, even though I can't remember it right now. But
I can't remember it right now.
As I was listening.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yes. Yeah. So
and it's what we're talking about, right? See, I can't remember the alwaysness part, which is the part I love best. The alwaysness is such a fabulous word, right? And that's where we want our attention on the unfolding alwaysness. And so there's no problem with that. When our attention is there, all we're talking about is what's happening right now. And so there's no reason to go up to conditioned mind to let it cling to an imaginary nervous-making future or an imaginary failure past. Right now, it's perfectly possible to express what's unfolding in this eternal now.
Yeah.
No problems.
Great.
Yeah?
All right.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye. Take good care.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Thanks, Anna. It's always possible to express the exact allness of the eternal now. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. Yes. Ashwini, is it allness or alwaysness?
Alwaysness. Exact alwaysness of the eternal now.
And yet, it's also the exact allness.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. All of these words that don't exist in a world primarily designed by conditioned mind point us back to this single-pointed, you know, when we talk about each and everything, every atom is the center of the universe. And that's what these words are pointing us to, and the experience of where we want to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Just this. If we say here, it's yes, this, here, now. By the time we get to now, we realize got to be faster because no longer now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, which is why it's the living in the direct experience of it instead of attempting to articulate something about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello. Hello.
Hi, it's Monica calling.
Hi, Monica.
Oh, hi, Monica.
Hi. Well, I've called in once before on the show, so I feel a little sensitive about that. But I just wanted to call in. Well, first, I want to say the quote, that's exactly the thing that stuck out for me, the exact alwaysness of now. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't even know what it meant, but I was like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate you expanding my understanding of that.
If I may, Monica, before you go on, that is such a perfect demonstration of what's possible for us. We don't have to understand it with conditioned mind in order mm-hmm. for it to resonate in the system. It's a recognition. It's an affinity, right? It's if we didn't use this word in so many other places and give it that kind of almost a negative connotation, it's an identification with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we respond to it. And that gives us a sense of what we are. Then, of course, the temptation is to look to conditioned mind to try to understand what we just experienced. But that's where we cling and lose it. So what we're actually learning to do is simply stay in that place of resonance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, conditioned mind cannot picture how you're then going to go to work and do your job and make your way home and get groceries and feed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's conditioned mind making a case for being outside of life in order to live, which is what it does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not necessary for us. We can live in that infinite peace of resonance with life and be supremely intelligent in the process.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, all of that. And, yeah, just really exactly the experience that I had. And even wasn't, I didn't, I don't think, go to conditioned mind and say, wait, I need to understand that. It was just really recognition, like you said, is such a perfect
yes.
word.
Yes, and in that case, there's actually an awareness that I don't need to understand that. Mm-hmm. Right? When we're really present in that way, part of what we get is, I don't need to get this in the usual way that I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When people talk about having a peak experience, part of that peak experience is, I don't need to noodle this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I know yeah. there is more.
Not really. I really just wanted to call in because I'm just so lit up by practice and by the calls and just really appreciating everything. And I just felt like I had to, or not felt like I had to, but anyway, I just wanted to participate, really. I have had so many amazing awarenesses since my last call. And to that point, I tried to explain them, and there's just no words, right? So it's not, I don't even want to try
exactly.
here, but I was trying to tell my sister, and my niece is struggling so much, and I wanted to share some insights. And it's futile in a way, but I'm really
yes.
feeling them, and I'm just really feeling appreciative, and I feel like I'm in a, I don't know, it's just really feeling, everything is just...
Yes,
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. And in terms of what we're doing with this, what we're doing with practice, but what launched us on this particular endeavor was an attempt for us not to be pulled down by the struggle and suffering that people are experiencing, which again
right.
is the whole point of practice always. It's just an awful lot of people got a big dose of it recently, right? And so it's, how can I be around my family who's suffering and struggling? Can I be around my family when how they are causes me to struggle and suffer? And so that's what we're doing with this. And the only thing I think that we can offer the world, which starts with our loved ones usually and expands up from there, all we can offer is our experience of possibility. So if we are able to demonstrate that we know precisely what's happening in the world and we are in a different relationship with it, then it is possible that others may wonder if they can do that too, which is not the same as explaining to them how to do it, right, which is what you ran into.
Exactly.
Because we
right.
all have to get to that place of, I want my life to be different. We have to get there on our own. And for most of us, I would say, we get there because of a combination of suffering and having demonstrations of an alternative, right? So there's suffering, and for whatever reason, I'm really drawn to the life of Gandhi, and right, or I'm really, when I watch Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and I hear what he says, that there's that resonance. Right. And so the curiosity arises for, well, how do those people get there? How come they don't experience life the way I experience it? Right. And now we're on a path of really looking. But if somebody comes along and says, well, the experience that you're having is unnecessary, you know, you could experience life in a completely different way. We just want to tell them to shut up and leave us alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and the quote just really brought it to that, because I, when I was having the conversation with my niece, you know, it was that all of that projecting what she's experiencing, not wanting to save. You know, I knew I was doing it, but I was still doing it. And then the quote of just the alwaysness of now, like just being with her in that. But it was just a challenge, but it was also like, I saw that too. And so the quote kind of just brought it back to what my role mm-hmm. is, which is exactly what mm-hmm. you're saying, is to just do me.
Right. Well, and the consolation is, even though it may not have meshed the way you would like, I'll bet you that she knows that you love her.
Right. And actually,
and that,
I sent... Yeah,
that goes a long way.
I sent an email this morning saying just that, you know, I'm excited, I'm projecting, I love you, and that's where I'm coming from,
mm-hmm.
and... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was just all, it's all fantastic.
Perfect.
I just really appreciate the calls and, like everyone.
It's all perfect, isn't it?
Call again. It is.
Good. Good. All right.
Thank you,
Monica.
So okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Monica.
Thank you, Ashwini.
You know, Sherry, just to pick up on what you were saying, that we suffer, we see the possibility in our heroes or what we're drawn to. We get curious about what it is that they're doing, that they experience life differently. We find that out, and then we do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that's, to me, the blessing of this practice, that it shows us the how.
Yes.
And it's truly just then doing that. Because what Monica so beautifully articulated is the sense of the resonance, the sense of knowing that being with whoever it is and being love is what the moment required. And everything else
mm-hmm.
was extraneous. And we have the tools
mm-hmm.
of reflection and drawing out and clarifying in order to assist us to be with people. We have the tools of recording and listening to assist us to get out of the conversation and conditioned mind, which is what we do. And that's what life becomes, right? The whole of existence is about how to get back here if I'm not already. And
yes.
letting go of the attachment to the moment. And then life lives us perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I appreciate
glorious.
Monica saying, you know, I was on before, and I just wanted to say, right? And that's such an essential piece of this whole thing, is as you're pointing out, we're doing a practice together.
Because
if we were trying to use all those tools on our own. What would likely happen to us is, again, that system, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, would just be undermining at every turn. But doing it together and just checking in, this is what's going on with me now, this is what I'm seeing now, this is what's happening now, it just, I don't know what it is, it just moves us all along.
Well, yes, I mean, we've got 2 minutes, otherwise I'd bring another caller, but the place where I was looking at when you said that, right, Sherry, is that act of being able to say what's going on for me really mm-hmm. is the step out of the conditioned system, because there is no need for us to listen to a voice that says, you can't be on the call because you've already been on the call, or you can't say something because you've already had your turn. And so you get dismissed based on a belief out of participation.
Mm-hmm. So it reminds me. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no. Just that it is a practice movement, which was so beautifully demonstrated by both Anna and Monica about saying what's going on for me in the now. That's not clinging
mm-hmm.
to the moment. That's not
mm-hmm.
clinging to the past or what is supposed to happen or controlling what is happening. It's just simply being with what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I went right there when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just going to quickly tell one of my favorite monk stories, and that is the fellow who had conditioning going about signing up for guidance. And so he always wanted to make sure everybody else had a turn, so he would wait.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for anybody who's been on retreat, they know the guidance schedule is up, and then at a certain point, if people don't sign up, I just X off the rest of the appointments. And so that happened to him. That kept happening to him. He would wait till everybody else had a chance, and then I would exit off and he would miss his appointment. And finally he said, to heck with that. I'm going to sign up first. And, you know, in the world of ego, that would be considered selfish. But in the world of waking up and ending suffering, that's considered intelligent.
Yes, yes. You know, that's so beautiful, right, Chair? Because it's just, I'm not giving anything away, but we have as many guidance slots as there are people. That would
yes.
never occur to a conditioned mind which operates on exclusivity, right? That if
yes.
I get a turn, somebody else is going to lose it. Whereas life operates from, it's available to everybody.
Yes.
Everyone
yes.
has a place.
Yep. And you might as well step up and take your place because that's what really contributes to everybody being able to move along the path. You know, it's the old joke about the bodhisattva. You know, I'm going to open the door to nirvana here, and I'll stand here and wait for everybody else to go through, and then I'll go through. But then you want to be in that role too, and then somebody else wants, and then pretty soon we're all fighting to hold the door open for everybody else. And we realize there isn't anybody else, right? So what we want to
yeah.
do is just start dashing through that door.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the ultimate.
That,
it's not about me.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well,
thank you so much once again.
Thank you too, Sherry. And we'll pick back up next Monday. So everybody have a
that's
wonderful
right.
weekend.
Yes. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Bye, Sherry.